Heard any good lies lately? If you stop and think about it, we hear lies every day. It's Tuesday, October 23rd, and you're listening to Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss. Today on Revive Our Hearts, Nancy Lee DeMoss takes us back to the Garden of Eden to help us understand how and why we're so easily deceived. She'll also tell us why she believes lies are at the root of all our problems and how believing those lies again and again eventually leads to our bondage. Here's Nancy.
I like looking at advertisements. And you know, some of the advertisements you find in magazines and newspapers and on television make the most preposterous claims. You know what I'm talking about? Let me read to you a few that I've seen. Become a world-class violinist instantaneously. Another one says, how to play the piano instantly. Now, wouldn't you like to be able to do this? Here's another one. It's an ad for a kitchen appliance. And it says, instant health at the flip of a switch. Now, wouldn't that be wonderful? And here's this one I really like. It says, melt 10 pounds in 10 minutes. A workout so easy, you do it in your pajamas. Now, sometimes deception in advertising is very obvious, as in these outlandish claims. But you know, it's not always that easy to detect. Some of these advertisements seem harmless enough, but they reflect a simple reality that I believe is at the root of all the problems in our world today. And I'm including in that all the problems in your community, and all the problems in your home, and all the problems in your life. The bottom line, when we go back to the Word of God and see how did we get into these problems, is that you and I have been lied to. We have been deceived. And it's important for us to understand where we've been deceived and how we've been deceived, because according to the Word of God, deception leads to bondage. When we're deceived, we become prisoners. And on the other hand, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Over the next few days, we're going to examine further how Satan deceives us as women. So I want us to open the Word of God today and go back to the beginning and see, where did all these lies come from? Where did deception begin? How did it start? Now, if you turn back in your Bible to the book of Genesis, and a portion of the scripture that's familiar to most of us, if I could just summarize Genesis chapters 1 and 2, the first two chapters of the Bible, I would notice some words that stand out in the text. First of all, one word that is repeated numerous times through those two chapters is the word good. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and over again, the scripture says God looked at what he had made, and it was good. In fact, at the end of creation, he looked at it all, and he said, it's very good. Then there's another word that appears three times in those first two chapters. It's the word blessed. God blessed the man. God blessed the things that he had made. He blessed his creation. As I read those two chapters, I see a sense of man and woman having fellowship with each other and with their heavenly Father. You see a picture of oneness, of harmony, of order, of peace. As you read these two chapters, this is the feeling that you get. Then we come to Genesis chapter 3, and I'm just giving you a brief nutshell overview here, and we're introduced to a whole new vocabulary. Beginning in Genesis chapter 3, there are some new words that appear that we didn't find in the first two chapters. Words like afraid, curse, enmity, sorrow, thorns, sweat, anger, murder. In this chapter, we have the entrance of blame, of bitterness, of conflict, confusion, disorder. Now we find the man and the woman who had enjoyed intimate communion and fellowship with God. Where are they now? They're hiding from God. They're scared of God. They're afraid. Now we see the introduction of shame and guilt. What happened between Genesis 1 and 2, where things are good and blessed and there's fellowship and there's oneness and there's peace, and Genesis 3, where we see all these ugly dimensions of life introduced? What happened? Well, if you're in your Bible there, in Genesis chapter 3, we find that there was the entrance of a character into this plot who comes first in the form of a serpent. Now, we know from the rest of the scripture, Revelation chapter 12, for example, that the serpent actually was Satan himself, embodied as a serpent. He comes to the woman, and he introduces a series of lies. Now, some of his lies we're going to see in a moment were outright lies. Some of them are half-truths, and some of them are falsehoods that are disguised as the truth. He says to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Now, what had God said? In the previous chapter, God had said to the man and the woman, you can eat from all the trees in the garden except one. God emphasized the freedom that they had. But Satan comes along and he emphasizes the one single keep off sign. And he says, has God put limitations on you? Yes, you have all these other things, but has God said there's something you can't have? And isn't that what he does to us today? God's given us so many things to enjoy. And yet Satan points at the one thing we think we want, the thing we think we need, the thing we think we can't do without. And he says, what kind of God would make you do without that? Well, the woman said to the serpent, verse 2, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. Now, is that what God said? God did say, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But do we have any record that God said, don't touch? You won't find it in Genesis chapter 2, which is where that direction was given. Now, I do think it was probably a good idea if you weren't going to eat, probably best not to touch. But here, the woman is led to distort the command of God. Women, that's why it's so important that we know the word of God. Not just what others tell us God's word says, but what God's word actually does say. And then here comes in verse 4 the outright lie. The serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. God had said, in the day that you eat, you will die. And now Satan says to the woman, the consequences that God promised, if you ate of that fruit, they won't happen. You will not experience those consequences. In effect, you can sin, you can have it your way, and you can get away with it. He says in verse 5, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, there's a lot more in that statement than what we're going to take time to unpack today, but you see the big picture here is that he's promising benefits and blessings to the woman if she will do it his way rather than God's way. Verse 6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. You see, a lie was the starting place for all the trouble in the history of the universe. At that moment, when she chose to believe the lie, when she was deceived by Satan, the entire human race was plunged into death and darkness, fear, shame, guilt, and despair. And in Revelation chapter 12, which is a part of the last chapter where God's word tells us how all this is going to end up. We've just read the first part of the story. In the book of Revelation, we come to the consummation of the story. And we're told in Revelation chapter 12 that Satan deceives the whole world. And also that he targets women in particular. Over the next few days, we're going to look further at how Satan deceives us as women. But I want to just close this session by going back to Genesis chapter 3 and having us take a look at a wonderful promise that God gives to us there. Eve listened to the lie of the serpent. She believed it She acted on it. She fell into sin, led her husband into sin with her. And immediately in the wake of that failure, God comes back to meet with the couple. He finds them in their hiding place. He draws them out and he says, yes, there are consequences, but there is hope. There is a plan to redeem this situation. And he says to the serpent in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. There's going to be a war. There's going to be a battle between Satan and the human race. But he says, the woman will have a seed, a child, an offspring. He's speaking of Christ, the promised Messiah. And he says, you're going to strike his heel to the serpent. You're going to do some damage. You're going to inflict a wound on the offspring of the woman. But here's the good news. He will crush your head. The seed of the woman, Christ, the Savior, the Redeemer of the world, will permanently do away with the power of the deceiver. Father, we thank you for giving us insight into how we got into all this mess that we experience today, and for showing us the starting place. We confess that in many ways, like Eve, we have been deceived, and we have bought into the lies of Satan. But I thank you that there's a hope that you have given to us through Jesus Christ, that he is the truth, and the promise is that he has done away with the works of the deceiver so that we might be set free through the truth. Open our eyes to Christ, who is the truth, and continue the process of setting us free from every form of deception. I pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen.